down. Buzzer beater, do it all now. All now. Top corner talking home run. Touchdown. Buzzer beater, do it all now. All now. Top corner like.
All right. Hello, everybody. It is Friday, June 13th, 2025, and this is the Monday Report on a Friday. I'm your host, H. James K., and today, as promised, we're going to be doing a concise preview of the coming 24 hours of Le Mans, which starts tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Figured I'd get that out of the way right off the bat. Simply for the edification of everybody, the 24 Hours of Le Mans has three classes this year. The fastest class is the hypercar class, which is a kind of a prototype class, much like the LMP1s of yesteryear. The second class is the LMP2, which is a largely spec prototype class where every chassis is made by Arayka and everyone uses Gibson engines. It's prototype racing, but it's significantly cheaper. The cars are a little slower, are slower than the hypercars, but they are significantly faster than the GT cars, which is the third category. The third category is the LMGT3, which is a multi-manufacturer, kind of semi-professional, lower-level GT racing category in the World Endurance Championship. Now let's go over qualifying. So in the hypercar category, the Works Cadillac team locked up the front row during qualifying thanks to a heroic final charge at the end of hyperpole qualifying for the number 12 Cadillac piloted by Alex Lynn at the time. That car is starting in first, whereas their teammate, the number 38 Cadillac piloted by Earl Bamber, will start second overall. The number 5 Penske Porsche driven by Matthew Jaminet looked poised to take the pole, but lost the pole due to a late mistake and had to settle for third. It looks unlikely that Peugeot and Aston Martin will contend at all for the overall win, considering neither manufacturer has shown any consistent speed whatsoever at all this season. Toyota Gazoo Racing, the Works Toyota hypercar team, had a disastrous qualifying and hyperpole session, a shocking turn for the once-dominant manufacturer. Ferrari, the manufacturer that has won every World Endurance Championship race this season in the hypercar category, will be starting 7th and 11th after less than impressive qualifying efforts. Moving on to the LMP2 category, Matthias Beck put his number 29 TDS Racing Arayka on the LMP2 pole, starting in the 22nd overall position. Tom Dillman and his number 43 Inter-Europol Competition Arayka will be starting 23rd overall. Luis de la Traz and his AO by TF Arayka will be starting in the 24th position, or 3rd overall in the LMP2 class. United Autosports number 23 and number 22 Arayka's will be starting the 25th and 26th positions respectively. United Autosport is owned by McLaren team boss Zach Brown. Moving on to the LMGT3 category, Mattia Drudi and his The Heart of Racing team put their Aston Martin Vantage on the LMGT3 pole, starting 39th overall. Francois Hiriau and his number 21 Vista AF Corsa Ferrari will start second in the LMGT3 class in the 40th overall position. That should sum up qualifying. Now let's move on to my predictions. In the hypercar category, I am predicting one of the BMW M Team WRT cars, the number 15 or number 20, will take the overall victory after attrition claims the two Works Cadillacs and one of the Penske Porsches. For reference, the BMW M Team WRT cars are starting 4th and 6th overall. I am predicting that Ferrari will finish a distant 3rd in the hypercar category, which will be a disappointing result after their impressive turn of form this season. I am also predicting that none of the Toyotas will finish the race, capping off a disastrous Le Mans campaign for the Toyota hypercar team. In the LMP2 category, I am predicting that the United Autosport number 23 will take the class win, while the TDS Racing team will finish a close second. In the LMGT3 category, I am predicting the number 21 Vista AF Corsa Ferrari will win the class for Ferrari, giving the manufacturer some consolation after falling short in the hypercar category. Overall, this is looking to be a very, very, very competitive Le Mans, and the number of hypercar teams and hypercar manufacturers in the category these days is awesome, because I remember in the hybrid LMP1 prototype era, it was like four cars. You'd have Toyota, then you'd have Porsche, and then there'd be like Cadillac, and that would be it. And it was just so boring, because Toyota would take the flag and they'd drive off into the distance and lead and dominate and suck the life out of everything. But now there's Peugeot, Aston Martin, Ferrari, Cadillac, Porsche. You've got Proton, then there's also, God, there's so many. It's just, there are so many manufacturers now, and as an IndyCar fan, I'm like super uber jealous of that, because we don't really have that kind of luck. But it's great to see so many of these teams and manufacturers having come back to endurance racing, because endurance racing is better when there's more manufacturers, when it's more teams and not just everyone's using a Cadillac or everyone's using a Toyota or everyone's using a bog standard spec Oreca. So I really like that. And in the LMP2 category, I love that the LMP2 category persists, even though it's an old format, it's an old platform, but it's great to have that, like, spec Oreca chassis with the Gibson motors, because the LMP2 category is about the teams. It ain't about the car. It's about which team is the best, who's the best drivers, and the best crew, and the best strategy, and who can survive. It isn't just about who has the fastest car. And in the LMGT3 category, you never know what's going to happen. You've got Mercedes, Aston Martin, Corvette, Porsche, Ferrari. You've got so many different manufacturers, and all the cars look like the real car. It ain't no prototypes. It's the real McCoy. So you'll have front-engine cars versus rear-engine cars and mid-engine cars and everything in between, and they're all duking it out for that honor of being the fastest non-prototype. I am not a super huge, super passionate, diehard, watch every race kind of endurance fan, but I will say that I do try to watch Le Mans every year. It's hard. I mean, it is a 24-hour race. It starts at 10 a.m. Eastern Time Saturday morning, and it doesn't stop until 10 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday. Overall, I think it's a challenging race for fans and drivers and teams alike. I've tried to stay up the whole time, and I did it once, like 5 years ago, but oftentimes I have to call it at around 4 in the morning and then wake up at like 9 a.m. to catch the finish. But maybe this year it'll be a year where I can watch the whole thing. Who knows? I certainly don't. But here's hoping for a dry race with good weather, and here's hoping there's not a lot of attrition and everyone is safe and it's a good race. Now, this is by far the shortest episode I've ever done of my podcast, but for something like this where I'm just doing a quick and dirty kind of predictions and qualifying preview, like preview of everything, I don't know if I need to go into that much detail, because truthfully, I could go through all 60 plus cars and it could take me a 90 minutes, but I don't want to do that. You guys don't want to listen to that. Well, maybe some of you do, but I just really don't want to dedicate all that time to go through each and every car, when in reality, the hypercars are going to win the overall race, and we don't know who's going to win, but we have a good general idea of who the contenders are in every category. So, quick and dirty and simple and straight to the point. All right, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else that podcast is sold, are distributed, thank you for listening. We're a small podcast, and spread the word, because I want to help this thing grow and continue to grow and reach more people. If you're listening on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell icon and get notifications. Do everything to feed the algorithm. Tell your friends, tell your family, even talk to your dog about it. Spread the word so the channel can grow. We have 8 subscribers. Maybe we can get to 10 before July. That'd be kind of cool, but small goals. You know, 100 subscribers by the end of year 2. 1,000 by the time I'm 50. You know, baby steps. All right, I'm going to wrap it up there. My name is H. James K. Thank y'all for tuning in. Until next time.